This is CliffCentral.com.
So listen, I'm afraid the Clintons are just, their stuff is going from bad to worse. You remember they were doing that speaking tour and they had to cancel a whole bunch of those big talks they were doing, where Bill and Hillary were on stage, that no one was buying tickets. Well, a Broadway depiction of former President Bill Clinton and former First Lady Hillary Clinton will be ending its run early due to underwhelming ticket sales. People don't want the Clinton story.
Well, who wants to see that?
Well, clearly nobody. But I thought that was an interesting story.
Very awkward.
Yeah.
I don't know why they thought that was a great idea.
Nah, nobody does.
A night out to go and watch what?
Look, to be fair, this wasn't the Clintons who put on this show. They didn't say we want a show on Broadway. Someone else took the chance and thought, oh, well, someone will be interested in the Clinton story. Clearly not. So that's not happening.
Hmm.
But it's not like things are going great in the Clinton world at the moment. I mean, ever since Hillary lost the election, it's really been downhill. And their reputations are at an all-time low, both of them. Which I don't think is fair, because I don't actually think Bill was a terrible president. But it's what's happened since then that's been bad. All right, a couple of messages. Do we go to these first, or do we start with some stories?
Messages are more pressing, I reckon.
All right.
Hey, morning team. How's it going? I'm off to a cracker of the start of the week. Forgot first my fiance's car keys in my pocket, so I had to drive back home for that. This is after I just got to the office. And then the second time I went back to the office, I then realized I forgot my laptop. So I'm on the way back to the home again and then back to the office again. So yeah.
Three Bang trips. Week.
Anyways, two things. Firstly, thank you so much for your awesome show recommendations. Chernobyl was absolutely amazing. And then, what's that show? Now They See Us. My word. Yesterday, my fiance and I binged that thing for, 4 hours, 5 hours, however long it was, the whole of yesterday. Went through an emotional roller coaster. I will not lie, there were tears, even though I'm supposed to be a man in preparation for our wedding. But in any case, I bawled my eyes out. Absolutely amazing series. Good acting, obviously, even a greater story at the end. And then the last thing, just on your show, like a sort of review, I haven't done that in a while. Number one, I really could not care less for our friend and beloved colleague, Tumi Mashego, I think her name, surname is.
Pumi.
But I really do not care much for her, although, you know, I'm sending out much love to you guys as a show. I don't know why you guys are so over her, but in any case, I couldn't give two craps about what she finds absolutely fascinating or what the thing is. But I don't want to end on the bad note. last week, Thursday, was the first show on Politics Thursday that I actually enjoyed for a very long time. We kind of got over politics leading up to the elections, elections itself, and just after the elections. And last week, Thursday, was probably the first time in a couple of months that I'd actually enjoyed sort of politics talks. In any case, that's my long-winded story. I hope you guys have an absolutely amazing week. Keep it glowing. Keep it flowing.
All right, very good. All right. Thank you. All right. Very long voice note. If you can keep them down to 30 seconds, you'll keep me interested.
He had a lot of stuff to say, you know?
I know, but I got kind of lost somewhere in the middle. Unnecessary.
Like, whoever this is, and you're still going through with the day, by that time I had to drive back home, I would have given up. I'll actually work in my pajamas today.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into some stories. I have to start with this because Leanne sent a picture with it, which we'll post on social media. It's frightening. An enormous, enormous python ate an entire crocodile.
It's so hard to believe.
This should be the other way around. Like, a crocodile could eat a python, but a python has swallowed. All you see is the last little bit of the tail of this crocodile. Where the hell did this happen, and how can I avoid that place?
Of course, only in the Australian swamp.
So?
A kayaker came across the scene and had to take pictures and post them immediately. Firstly, the python is obviously gigantic itself, but it is devouring the entire crocodile.
Oh.
Just the tail sticking out. I don't know how he gets past all the spikiness, you know? But if I can describe the picture, it looks like the python is sitting on top of its skin, its own skin. It has squashed up all of its organs to leave space for this crocodile. its mouth is open about six times the size of it, of what you normally would see. It's just unbelievable. Horrifying. Oh,
my God. So, yeah.
And to think that this python would have first squeezed it to death, right?
It's unhinged its lower jaw.
Yeah, completely.
To open its mouth up. It's unhinged its lower jaw so that it could accommodate this enormous crocodile. Nature is wonderful, but it is barbaric. It's brutal.
But also the stuff is going on all day and we just don't know about it. It's happening all the time.
Creatures eating each other.
If you go onto Facebook, the Facebook page is called GG, the two letters GG, Wildlife Rescue Inc.
Oh my God.
And you can see this
Let's put
creature noshing down.
I'll forward it to Dory. She could put it on social media for us. Oh my God, how terrifying.
Yeah.
Unreal.
I don't know. His eyes were definitely bigger than his stomach, although he seems to have...
No, he seems to have handled that just fine.
Mm-hmm.
This picture's so intriguing. I want to look at it, and then you just instantly want to look away as soon as you see it. It's so weird.
All right. Well, okay. At least the animals are carrying on. They don't care about politics or about global trade wars or about cryptocurrencies.
No.
Anything else. They just carry on eating each other.
Yes.
Ugh.
So apparently the Chinese are harvesting organs from people in prison.
Yeah.
I've got to say, organs have to come from somewhere.
Well, that's completely immoral, Gareth.
Wait, let's hear this out.
Hey. If you needed a liver, which you will one day.
Yeah, very close to that.
Are you going to just hope some donor comes along, or are you going to pay up?
Okay, well, you might change your mind when you hear that some of these victims include imprisoned followers of the Falun Gong movement.
Sorry, donors,
no.
Not victims.
No. So some of them are members of religious minorities.
Yeah. Which, no, look, that's not right.
They're executing these people and harvesting organs without anyone knowing. This is now a tribunal which has released its results.
Yeah.
It's an independent tribunal. It's been sitting in London and has concluded that the killing of detainees in China for organ transplants is continuing, and victims include imprisoned followers of the Falun Gong movement. So the chair of this tribunal was Sir Geoffrey Nice, who was a prosecutor at the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia. And he says that these people are probably the principal source of organs for forced organ harvesting.
Oh, boy. Look, I mean, I can joke about this, but can you imagine you get locked up in prison and the next thing you know, you're being harvested of your organs. I mean, that's got to be one of the most terrifying things that can happen to anyone. You wake up and your kidney's gone.
If you
wake up at all, you know?
Yeah, apparently in some cases their deaths are excruciating. In others, they do execute them before they carry out the procedures.
Ugh.
But it's barbaric, really.
Shocking. The Chinese are pretty ruthless.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
All right, well, these seem like the kind of people you should wage a trade war against. Just saying. No, for real. Okay, so someone who I think she's had her brain harvested is Zinzi Mandela.
Because, oh, man, she unleashed a whole lot of stuff.
She went off on, where was it, on Twitter?
I think so, yeah.
Over the weekend.
She's our ambassador to Denmark. Now, Denmark is this quiet, uncontroversial place. The last time they were even in the news was back in, the early 2000s, when the Jyllands Posten newspaper printed a cartoon of Muhammad and caused huge shit all over the world. And since then, the Danish have been pretty quiet.
And let's also remember that they're very white. It's a very white country.
And this is such a thing that... you know, if you've got insecurities about whatever, and I don't understand how Nelson Mandela's daughter could have a problem. Like, she's so super privileged. Insanely privileged. Just, she's only ambassador by virtue of the fact that she's Nelson Mandela's daughter. She's not there because she's a a brilliant diplomat or because she's got incredible skills or qualifications. She's there because she is her father's daughter.
Mm.
So privilege is pouring out of every orifice, basically. And I've met Zinzi. She's an inoffensive person. Well, I thought so at the time. She's got a sense of humor. She can be quite charming. She's the one who, as a young girl, went onto the stage at Orlando Stadium and held her fist up. And she was a symbol of the struggle for a long time, like her mother was before her.
Hmm.
So there's a lot of legacy here. But she went on Twitter and said that white South Africans are land thieves and apartheid apologists.
Hmm.
Who are just like unwelcome guests. Now, look, I'm not upset by this and I'm not offended by anything. But there's this bizarre trope that's going on that whites are land thieves, that they came here and they kicked black people off of the land. Now, in some general sense, that's probably true. But you have to be able to prove it. And in Zinzi's case, all we know for sure is that she's got tons of money and tons of land and she's a Mandela and therefore she can get away with saying a lot of crazy things. In fact, her whole job is based on the fact that she's a Mandela. Now, if that isn't privilege, I don't know what is. So if you've got some idea of, like, back in 17-something, that someone was kicked off of somewhere, that's called conquest. It happened to the Celts. It happened to the Picts. It happened to the Saxons. It happened to the Normans. It happened to the French. Then it happened to the Germans. Then it happened to the French again. Then it happened to the Prussians. Then it happened to the Germans. Then it happened to French. Then it happened to the Austrians.
Yeah.
This is how world history is told. It's told by conquest. So some people come, they take the land from weaker people. Then the strong people get overpowered by other strong people. That was called the Anglo-Boer War.
Mm.
Right? And this has happened throughout human history. So what do you want? You want to sit down and go, "Wah, someone took something from my ancestors. It's so unfair."
What I was just trying to...
I call people land thieves. Now, if someone is a land thief because their ancestors did something horrible or their ancestors took something that wasn't theirs, does that mean every generation after that should be punished for what their ancestors did? This is clearly how Zinzi Mandela thinks.
And the problem as well is that she's grouping everyone together here. She's using the phrases they, pointing fingers and referring to
a group. And we're not talking about title deeds or a particular piece of land or a particular person. This is just her imagination running wild.
And with all of this, I'm not understanding what the root is or was, where it came from
I don't know, she must have been drinking or something.
Because in one of the tweets she says, "Dear apartheid apologists, your time is over. You will not rule again. We do not fear you. Finally, hashtag the land is ours." Where does that come from?
Yes, honey, that your father was the first democratically elected president. Why have you got such insecurities about this? Why are you imagining like boogeymen? Like, do you think Adrian Flock is going to suddenly pitch up out of the bushes and try to reassert apartheid? What insanity is this?
Look,
you're insane. You're insane.
She kept on using terms like trembling white cowards, thieving rapist descendants of Van Riebeck.
Yo,
and
a lot of
she
anger
was wondering how the, quote, world of shivering land thieves was doing.
Yeah, she says, "Whilst I dine and wine here, wondering how the world of shivering land thieves is doing," Mandela wrote on Twitter on Thursday night. Her tirade on social media started with the following words, which she has already given us: "Dear apartheid apologists, your time is over." When her undiplomatic comments were criticized, she said she was not answerable to any white man or woman. Now, imagine you turn that around and you say, "I'm not answerable to any black man or woman."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's straight up racism.
And again, remembering that she represents
she's our diplomatic representative. Denmark. Like, the Danish must be going, "Oh, sweet Jesus Christ, is this what we've got to deal with? Someone who's got mental health issues."
Well, now the Department of International Relations and Durko, though, clearly they didn't see this coming at all, because they're now just saying, "Oh no, we're trying to reach her, but her phone is off." And then they've said, "Well, yes, she's been using this Twitter account for a while, but it's not verified, so we can't exactly confirm that it is her." I don't know.
She says, "We will be back for the Msunari." I love that. That's become a thing.
Yeah, it was like, I didn't want to laugh at that. But this is just... But
miss all these trembling white cards, Shem, Buerta, Portriter, thieving, rapist descendants of Van Riebeek, etc. How are you, my babies? We shall gesels more, Mr. Skont and Mr. Msunus. Our land. She wrote in another tweet. I mean, it's just, she must have...
So the latest is that she's just nowhere to be found.
Mm.
No one can get hold of her.
She's probably, I'm telling you, she was drunk or high.
Would she not have deleted them? Perhaps she
has.
It
doesn't happen. It doesn't matter. People take screenshots.
Yeah, of course.
And you can't get to this point, though.
She's just a disaster. She's a disaster. I'm sorry. Zinzi Mandela needs to be removed from her post. I don't want an apology from her. I don't care. I'm not like all white people. I don't give a shit about what people say about whites or blacks. But I just don't like racism. I really don't.
I've heard that.
I've been called a racist. I'm sick of it. I think it's just a childish reaction. So I'm not going to call her that. But I'll say that she's completely unqualified for her job. And the fact that she's a Mandela means she has been granted way too much leeway by society up to now, which is why she thinks she can get away with comments like this. It's just unacceptable. It's bizarre. I don't want an apology. Just get rid of her. She's just shit at her job.
I don't know. Even if... I don't know if it would have helped, but a bit of context might have.
What would have...
This is unfortunately... When these kinds of comments go unchecked on social media, and they do largely, you know, it's completely unacceptable for that douchebag who was on that Greek beach. Do you remember what Katsavelos...
Adam.
Uh-huh. To say what he said. Completely unacceptable. But it's as unacceptable for her to be doing this, even more so if you ask me, because she's occupying an official position.
She was very, very busy on...
I mean, he's just a private idiot.
Yeah.
Right? He's an idiot citizen, and that was put on a WhatsApp group. This is a public person who's carrying the legacy of her father, hopefully. I mean, clearly she didn't understand a damn thing. She wasn't paying attention at all. But she's in a public office on a public platform, which is Twitter. And this is how she... Now we know what she thinks. Now we know what's really in the heart and soul of Zinzi Mandela. And it's a lot of hatred.
Well, and let there be the same standard. It's not a popular opinion for some people to state this. But let there be the same standard in how we deal with everyone who says such. We can't now provide context for one person and just want to banish the other.
Right.
You know, it's tough to admit that when there's emotion involved, but you have to take your emotion out of it and say, you know what, one standard for all.
I'm scrolling down her feed, and I almost thought I would never reach the bottom of June the 14th. That's how many retweets and comments she was... posting on that day.
She must have been
all about land.
She must have been in a bad place. And you know this land thing, like you've got to realize, like, you have no understanding of history if you think that land was stolen. Land is always stolen. That's how land is acquired. And if it is bought, that is the exception throughout human history.
It wasn't anyone's to begin with.
What have humans been doing since time immemorial? Stealing each other's land. That's what humans do. That's how you form empires. That's how civilization expands. Of course, we look at it now as being savage and stupid.
Mm.
And nobody's going to go and defend some guy with a gun who chased, you know, black families off of land back in whenever. But you have to point to the exact example if you're going to hold the descendants responsible. Otherwise, what are you doing? You're just saying, basically, I hate you white people, which is just ridiculous.
It's a blanket thing.
The reason why I just don't engage much on issues like this is because it's exhausting to see how we are being played around buzzwords and buzz ideas. You know, so many people are talking about land, and I'm like, where does that come from? Have you ever thought about this?
It's like a cool thing.
It's a buzzword.
People. Yeah, people want to pretend that they are...
Please.
That they're activists, and that they do more than sit behind their keyboards typing up a big slogan. They're not. You're not an activist. You've got what I call struggle envy. You didn't get to actually take part in the struggle. Now you need to have some new struggles. So you've made land your thing because you want to be seen as the new Winnie Mandela or or Steve Biko. You're not.
But what I also don't get with all of these conversations is, what is the action that you want with all of this? You know, I get when people talk about certain things. I think it was Germany, and then reparations come about. Okay, so you wanted reparations, uh-huh. and so it was instituted. I get that. But then you talk about land, and then it comes to elections, and then political parties use the term land to get your votes.
Well, let's take,
and then
let's,
what?
Let's
what
take
do you
people
want
at,
from it?
Let's take people at their word. Let's say they want land. Do you want any land? Would you like a particular house in mm-hmm. a particular suburb? Would you like a piece of agricultural land? I mean, most of the people who are claiming that they want land don't want to go and live in the middle of the Karoo and farm with sheep. That's hard. It's not a great life.
Give me a piece of land on a golf estate.
Sure.
That's probably what
But that's not what was stolen, and you can't prove it. There's no way you can prove it. There's not one piece of written documentary evidence to prove that at all, ever. So what are you talking about? And if you do want something other than land, then say so. But you're not saying so, so I'm going to take you at your word. In which case, we can't make this happen. There's no contract.
Yeah, and even if there is, it's not, you're not going to get that land immediately. The legalities around it
are families.
They're going to go on for 10 years.
There are families that are still waiting. Since 1996-7, they're still waiting for the stuff to be sorted out. And you know what? The people who instituted the original claims are probably dead already. So who are we trying to kid? We know this government can't even run a municipality properly, where there are already systems. They can't run it properly. Now you're asking them to run land restitution properly? There are countless examples. I don't have to find one or two. I can find a million if I need to, of people just north of us in Zimbabwe who went through the same process, and it ended in poverty for all, not just for some. Is that really the route you want to take?
And lastly, for me, it's not about your average citizen, because I feel if the average citizen, you know, wants land and feel this way,
they can buy it.
They might be informed or not informed. Sure, go ahead, go for gold and voice your opinions. What annoys me in all of this is how issues like this, because they're such trigger issues, are used to manipulate your average citizens by people in power.
We know
for their own power.
You're exactly
right.
That's
what annoys me the most.
Sia's exactly right. They've done countless surveys around the country from top to bottom. People are more interested in employment. Mm. People are more interested in education. People are more interested in poverty alleviation. People are more interested in mental health care. They're interested in health for them in terms of a much more general kind of health, like our public hospitals should work. Land goes right near the bottom of that list.
If it is a Tom, Dick or Jablani commenting about it, sure. Okay, fine. But for people who are in powerful positions, who have, as an old cliche goes, with great power comes great responsibility,
right,
who
Spider-Man.
Are being irresponsible by saying things like this, that's when I really get annoyed. Because, oh well...
Well,
yeah,
we'll
just
see.
For your
let's see. I'm going to bet. I'll bet the farm I don't have that nothing happens to Zinzi. I'll bet she gets
it's
away.
It's going to be swept under the carpet.
Maybe she'll apologize, and then people go, oh, thank God, you know, the Mandela legacy saved by her apology. But we know what's in her heart now, and that's all that matters.
Yeah.
Good to know. Thanks for being honest, even if it was a drunken stupor, Zinzi. I'd prefer honest, at least to know where we stand with each other. So the next time I see you at some official function, I'll know not to bother to say hello because you hate me. Mm. I don't have to fuck around, you know. Oh, hey, Zinzi, how are you? And be genuine, because I think you're a nice person, and have myself hated when I leave the room. I'll just avoid you from now on.
Yeah, and
at least I know where we stand.
To keep it in context from her side, because you hate, in inverted commas, us.
Well, that's what she said, right? I'm not quoting anyone but her.
No, exactly.
So you hate me just because I was born this way. Doesn't seem like we should really try to be nice to each other. I'll just stay away from you. Mm. Don't need to fill my life with that kind of thing. It's like if walking to a room full of exes who hate you. That's, you don't do that
to
yourself.
I just think it's so irresponsible. Because really, what must happen now?
Nothing. She's got no plan here. She's just on a tirade. Anyway, look. Let's
the
not get...
Msunuri.
Now, I love that. Can someone just explain to me, Msunuri, now, what was Fresh suspended for this weekend? Because I got a screenshot of this from friends of mine. Please tell me what it is.
Oh, I didn't know.
Metro FM presenter DJ Fresh has been taken off air temporarily for using the word Msunuri on air. Now, what is it?
What is it?
What is Msunu? It's Zulu, right?
Msunu is a swear word.
Which one?
Come
on, Sia.
Msunu.
Can I have a real Zulu then if Sia doesn't know?
Is it referring?
It's a vagina.
A vagina.
The direct translation of Msunu is muscle.
Oh, no.
The vaginal.
No, wait. Gugu, you got a better alternative here? You're a real Zulu too.
I'm a real Zulu.
Yeah?
Oh.
Msunuri. Talk to me about Msunuri.
So Msunu in the streets is a vagina, but right. The elderly generation will refer to Msunu as an anus.
Oh.
So I don't know where we really stand.
Well, there's a bit of confusion there.
Hmm. Because I know when they use it in your mother's context.
Oh, yeah. Right, like...
You mean context.
So it's like saying your mom's vagina.
Yes.
Right. Your mother.
So Msunu... is apparently, I mean, listen, Zinzi was using Msunu. She hasn't been fired from her job, but Fresh gets taken off the air on Metro.
Did he call someone that, or what happened?
So similarly, how now there's the term the fuckery that's going on.
Yeah,
it's
okay.
Now the Msunuri that's
yeah.
Right, I like that word.
Yeah,
I think I might start using it. It seems like everybody else is allowed to. I think I should.
All encompassing the Msunuri of it all.
Let's see if we can get Fresh in here again. Let's talk about the root of the word Msunu and where it comes. Maybe we could get a whole lot of language experts and decide which, you know, because these days the rules have changed. What are the words that you now can't use on public air?
Yeah, so I mean, some words are
changed a bit.
Reclaimed, if it's a racial thing, for instance. Sometimes these words are reclaimed by the race that it was intended to harm.
Right.
And
so,
and
you know, you've got people using the N word or the K word or whatever.
So things do change.
I think let's know the rules. Let's set up a Geneva Convention on this show, and we'll decide. We'll get some smart people around the room, and we'll get people to offer which words they think should be out of bounds, which words are back in, which ones used to be offensive but they're not anymore, which ones weren't before and now they are. I think let's get into that. That would be very interesting. All right. A drunk man's words are a sober man's thoughts. Alcohol in, truth out, says somebody. Well, we don't know for a fact that in Zinzi's case, this was it. I know Fresh was probably quite sober when he was doing his show and said Msunuri.
Yeah, apparently, there was a reported scuffle with his co-host, Relebohile Mabocha.
Mm-hmm.
But apparently he didn't even know why he'd been suspended. He was asked and he was like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's the SABC. I wouldn't think that's a, you know, if the SABC tells you you're suspended, that's like your drunk uncle walking into the house telling you you're behaving badly.
Yeah.
While he falls and trips and breaks his bottle under him. That's kind of what's going on there. So good luck to my friend Fresh. I'm always on his side.
Yeah, I just saw a tweet of his, though. He was disputing... that story, saying, you know,
It wasn't a fight.
Well, yeah, he was
co-host.
Saying he gets along with his new co-host, so it doesn't understand.
People suck
why.
Stuff out of the air. Hey?
Mm.
Wow.
Kim Kardashian went back to the White House. Are you excited?
Oh,
what
the
is
lawyer
for
in
now?
The making.
Who's
this
she
one.
Freeing?
Well, no, actually, she's there to discuss criminal justice reform. Now, I don't take the Kardashians seriously. I don't think a lot of people do. But they've got an enormous amount of clout and influence, right?
Now she's studying to be a lawyer.
Yeah, she's become this way because of being married to Kanye West, who's very opinionated and, I mean, he blows a lot of hot air and speaks a lot of rubbish. But she's obviously taking an interest in this sort of thing.
Maybe she really cares. Like, it's possible she really cares about this stuff. Look at Pamela Anderson. Pamela Anderson, first sex tape. Long before Kim Kardashian.
Yeah.
Pamela Anderson was known for what?
Boobs.
That's
Baywatch.
It. That's right. Boobs and Baywatch. What did she end up being? Julian Assange's best friend. Like a free speech advocate.
She was she was the first celebrity that I knew of that was involved with PETA.
Yeah, for the seal
animal rights. Absolutely. So now I'm going to take her word for it that she's an animal rights activist and she cares about Julian Assange and free information and all that stuff. There's no reason for me to question her motives. So I'm not going to question Kim. Hmm. Why would you want to get involved in criminal justice? It's not like it's a glamorous part of the world, you know? Kim Kardashian could be in fashion and television and going to the Met Gala and all of that stuff. And that could be her whole life. But she's clearly looking for meaning, and good for her.
Hmm.
She's found if one person who was wrongfully accused gets out of prison because of Kim Kardashian,
yeah,
then I will change my point of view about her being an airhead. If one person can have a stupid charge like possession of marijuana withdrawn and they can go and start their life again because of Kim Kardashian, then who the hell am I to say, oh, I don't respect her? Then good for you, Kim. You go. That's not Msunari at all. Got a great ass, by the way.
Hi.
Hi.
It really is such an honor to be here today, hey. So thank you. My whole journey with criminal justice reform started about a year ago when I came to see the president after speaking to Ivanka and Jared, who really fought for me to get here. The amount of letters that I get with people just needing transportation to job interviews, to jobs, these people want to work. They want the best outcome. And I'm so happy to be here today amongst people that want the same thing and that really believe in supporting their reentry. So I'm so happy to announce today that we have a rideshare partnership where formerly incarcerated people will be gifted gift cards so that they can get rides to and from job interviews, to and from jobs, family members, and that is so important.
Let's be serious. There are probably millions of really good people in the world who are doing this kind of work every day, but they don't get the attention Kim Kardashian does. Because first of all, they're not so hot. And second of all, they're not so famous. So you know what? Fine. Good for Kim.
I've never heard her speak in this way before.
Good for her.
It's amazing.
So much better than seeing her blowing Ray J.
Yeah, there's that.
Did you know that our popular show Sex Talk, talking about Ray J, recently released a 4-part series focusing on relationships? Now, I know a lot of people are missing the huge lineup of live shows that we've got. So here, we're trying to fill that gap for you. You can join Jonty and Tamar as they discuss how to create happy and fulfilling relationships. Recognizing problematic patterns, the elements of intimacy, sex, and sensuality, and how to protect your relationship. Get this set of Sex Talk podcasts now at cliffcentral.com, on our app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's because Gareth and I are not qualified to give relationship information.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Thank you.
And I still like to think I am qualified, even though my advice is horrible. So rather listen to Jonty and Tamar.
No one's going to stop you, Sia, so you go ahead.
Speaking of relationships, it's been revealed in a study that dogs' eyes and the way that they move them, so the muscles around the eyes, have changed and evolved since humans befriended them.
What do you mean?
The two specialized muscles which around the eyes, which give them a range of expression that, say, a wolf wouldn't have. So you know when you usually see a wolf, whether it's in a scary situation or on TV.
Yeah, or let's just come across wolves.
They don't have that kindness around their eyes. It's quite hard, the muscles around their eyes. Well, dogs have got these groups of muscles, the retractor, anguli, oculi, lateralis muscle.
Yes.
And the other one, which are known as Rall and Loam. And they can cause the inside of the brow to lift up. So you know that like puppy dog, please take me home, or please can I have some food?
Mm-hmm.
Puppy dog eyes. That's exactly what they are capable of creating. They've learned to do this. And what's proving that they do this specifically for humans is that when they're filmed without human presence around them, they don't do it.
Oh, wow.
So they've developed them specifically.
That's amazing.
For people to go, oh, cute, or I want to take it home, or I want to feed it.
That's evolution. And isn't it marvelous? It's like magic. It just, mm-hmm. it knows how to change things to make things better for survival.
And they never had it before.
Amazing.
So if you had to, I think often of a portrait that I've seen with a dog in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's at my mom's place. And the dog doesn't look kind at all. You think they've probably developed this only recently.
That's amazing. What a beautiful thing.
Well, it's things like that and also stories like these that just make me want to love pets even more. But it seems that scientists have now found out that household pets are not oblivious to their owner's anxieties, but mirror the amount of stress that they feel.
Wow.
Like, pets really do love us. So the finding comes from a study of cortisol, which mm-hmm. is the stress hormone, mm. and it circulates in the blood and leaves its mark in strands of hair. So over time, as a hormone is bound into the growing hair, each shaft becomes a biological record of the stress an individual experiences. So these scientists were engaging with 25 border collies, 33 sheepdogs, and the animal's female owners. And researchers in Sweden found that higher cortisol in human hair was matched by more of the hormone in the dog hair and all of the dogs that lived indoors with their owners.
So as these female owners are going through times of stress, their dogs are replicating it completely and living it.
That is so absolutely
animals
amazing.
Really like feel how we feel.
You know,
and they empathize in that way.
It's just, I have so many examples at home because I have so many animals. But I remember when my mum first had her brain bleed, her hemorrhage.
Mm-hmm.
My cat, one of my cats in particular, who I'm very emotionally connected with, had never done this before, and she was already 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She came into my room and lay on my chest. And she's been doing that every single night for 2.5 years.
They can feel things.
No
doubt.
You know those, what are those called? Those weighted blankets.
Yeah.
That provide babies and kids with a feeling of security.
Right. Mm.
That's exactly what she was doing and still does. And she could sense that I had been through an absolute trauma. It's amazing. It's beyond what we realize, really.
Beautiful. That's really special.
Like, nature's just something else sometimes.
I'm telling you, these animals, they know things. There's something going on there.
Mm.
One of my parents' friends, who's he's been an animal physiologist for years. He's a professor, and he studies animals, and he knows animals better than I ever will, right, from a scientific point of view.
Mm-hmm.
He says we don't realize how spiritual these creatures are. How they sometimes, he says, he reckons they sit and they meditate.
Hmm.
Looking at the sun or looking at the horizon or whatever they do. You know, these are not stupid, dumb creatures.
Yeah.
And if you watch the way humans behave, you know, slashing each other with knives and stealing each other's stuff. And
just the humans we've been speaking about this morning.
Oh, geez.
Like, how can we think we're superior to these animals? We're not. Clearly, the animals have got some edge on us because they're a lot more tranquil and calm, especially the pets. And they make us calmer.
Mm.
Yeah, there's this exchange of oxytocin in particular when a dog looks at you, into your eyes, and you look into its, if you're its owner or it loves you. And using these muscles I was talking about, it elicits an oxytocin response from us as well. Crazy underlying stuff that's going on, man.
All right, there's something much more useful and practical. You know, Leanne's told us plenty about how we could live healthier in the last couple of weeks, how you could dress up if you've got a big gunt.
Yes.
You know, all kinds of useful, really useful information.
How to unblock a toilet.
How to unblock a toilet. Mm-hmm. This is the stuff she... So how far should you live from your parents and your parents-in-law? This is really good advice, okay? They've done the research. Leanne has the facts.
How to peacefully coexist.
Oh.
You know, they may be lovely people, you know,
sure,
your parents or your in-laws, but you don't want them dropping in just willy-nilly on their way to the grocery store.
No.
Right? So the study has revealed a surprisingly specific distance that you should live apart from your parents or in-laws.
All right.
And apparently it is between 15 and 45 minutes drive.
So
because it's
more than 15, less than 45.
Yeah.
Okay.
So just far enough so that it makes it more difficult to just drop in unannounced, but it makes getting together for planned family occasions easy. That's apparently the healthy distance.
Clearly my parents are the exception here.
Why?
Oh, my parents could easily just rock up unannounced from Durban.
Jeez. Yeah, your parents are far away.
My mom was here over the weekend.
But they rock up.
Yeah, my mom was here over the weekend. And I knew when she was in town that she was here.
But she doesn't just pitch up. She tells you.
That she's on the way.
Oh, shit.
She's on the way. She literally did this. When was it? Saturday, yeah. She's like, I'm in the car. I'm on my way.
I still battle when, like, a family member says, I'm round the corner. Do you mind if I pop in? The panic that sets in.
Why? What are you? What are you worried about?
It's
a mess.
Yeah, a mess. Or maybe I'm still in my pajamas. You know, it's just anxiety about what they'll think of me. It's totally. It's very selfish.
Yeah, that's a Leanne thing. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say because family shouldn't exactly judge you. You shouldn't be feeling that sort of pressure. Yeah.
But by the way,
so 15 to 45 minutes.
I just want to quickly throw this in. For anybody who's looking for the picture of that python who swallowed a whole crocodile, we've put it up on our Cliff Central Twitter and Instagram. You can go and have a look.
It first squeezed the life out of it. Just remember that.
God.
So, yeah. 38% of the respondents say living within 5 minutes of your parents or in-laws would be a source of major stress for them.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for me.
Yeah, I don't mind. Like, my parents would never just pitch up. They would tell me they were coming.
Now, you see, I've always thought...
My brother and my sister-in-law, they just pitch up.
When we go away on family holidays, I wish they would never end because I love living with my family. Mm. But
need a bit of gap.
You do.
You know, it's part of growing up as well, and you have to move on and you have to move away.
You know, in the south of Joburg, where I was bred, not born but bred, you've got a lot of Lebanese families and Greek families.
They're very tight.
Yeah. Mm. So Lebanese people will often buy properties next door to each other and break down the walls.
Right.
See, so I have, out of three of my sisters, the one and I are very similar in how we think and our feelings of, as well, you can't just rock up unannounced and you can't just randomly pitch up. And so the siblings and I had one of these life-saving apps, so which means you always knew where the person was.
Like a Find My Friends type thing.
Based on their location. My sister and I, the one we think very similarly, had to download a new app and secretly leave the app that we were, all four of us were on, because the other two would just randomly pop up wherever we are.
Oh,
based on knowing where, based on our location.
Really?
It was just like, yeah, of course. Well, I'm in the area, you're in the area. I can, of course, just drop by. And it's like, no, it doesn't work like that.
Yeah, what if I'm in the area doing something that's private?
So the other two still don't know that we've done this, and it's just only a matter of time. Oh, well.
Wow.
But yeah, I think some people just don't have that.
They don't have those borders or barriers.
No, not at all. It's like, we love each other. Of course I can see you whenever I want to.
Yeah, and yet, you know, I drop in at my parents unannounced all the time.
Soonery.
It's them soonery of it all.
Hey, Gugu, is your surname Sunu?
No.
What makes you think that, Gareth?
Oh, no, I just looked at it. No, it's Masuku. Sorry.
Close enough.
I just saw Msunu. Sorry.
Oh, did you hear that Gloria Vanderbilt has passed away?
Oh, this is a real story to clutch your pearls to.
Fashion icon and artist. She's also the mother of Anderson Cooper.
Yes. Right.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
She's died at the age of 95, and he was the one, Anderson Cooper is a CNN presenter. He's the one who has revealed the news.
Mm-hmm.
She apparently died.
That's appropriate.
He's in her home with friends and family. Yeah, because he's the reporter.
Anchor, yeah,
or the anchor.
All right.
She must. He must not be doing a live crossing to her
deathbed.
No,
it would be a dead crossing. Anyway, so shame. She was diagnosed with an advanced form of stomach cancer earlier this month.
Yeah.
And so she went quite quickly.
How old was she?
95. Good innings.
Okay, yeah. Well, still, you know.
What do you mean still?
She had a long life, but...
Yeah, born in 1924.
You don't want to die.
Grew up
even
in
when
France.
You get to 95.
Her father was the financier Reginald Vanderbilt, mm-hmm. who's the heir to a railroad fortune.
One That's of right. the top five richest men in American history. Oh, America. Gloria lived a life.
Yeah.
Modeling and marrying a Hollywood agent and money through all of her life and through divorces.
And by the looks of things, a lot of plastic surgery.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
She was very proud of the way she looked.
Yeah.
Look, like her... one of the first stories that came out about her as a young child was that she was the poor rich girl, they used to call her, because she only had a $5 million trust fund.
Only five?
Only five.
Oh, that's terrible. And only this is, 5 million?
Yeah. But she also had like a really tragic life. Well, many tragedies occurring during her life.
Sorry, how much did she have?
Only.
There are five. Only five.
Only five.
There are five.
Yes, okay.
Five.
Yes, all right, thank you. Right. Former President Zuma muscling in there.
I think we can say this quite generally. She lived a life of rich people problems.
Although, no, because one of her sons died in 1978 on the operating table during open heart surgery. Another son jumped from the 14th floor of the penthouse.
Yeah, when he was only 21.
He had depression. He was 23, yeah. So she's had a lot of things. She's even been in debt before, and she's had to sell the mansion in the Hamptons.
Yeah.
Oh, so
Leanne,
tough.
I feel like all of these statements of yours are not, you know, complete.
Oh, I feel so bad for her.
Oh, she had to sell off just one of her mega mansions. And then when you're 17 years old and your personal affairs make the front page news, that's when, you know, it really is rich people problems, because she wanted to get married at 17, which means that she was, some of her inheritance was going to be lost, and then she took her aunt to court. Come on, quintessential rich people problems.
What I like is that Anderson Cooper said, "Love is what she believed in more than anything."
Oh.
I think it's sweet.
All right.
Yeah. I did talk about it once that I watched their documentary, and the reason why I think...
it was called Nothing Left Unsaid.
Yeah, she and Anderson made this documentary a few years ago, and that's why mm-hmm. I think it's such a nice way to live a life, where they've discussed everything. She wrote about her whole entire life. She did everything she wanted to do. What more do you want? I think at 95 years old, she can say that there's nothing else that she wanted to do. So my goodness, if I live to 95, guys, don't cry. Like, freaking set off fireworks.
Right.
Yeah.
Good life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And she really did have a good life. Like, she had amazing experiences.
Mm.
And clearly she, you know, she had a lot of joy and happiness and an equal amount of sadness and ugliness, because that's what makes you feel human, that you can feel love and you can feel pain.
Great, now I have Robbie Williams in my head.
What's that?
I just wanna feel
real love. All right. You know what? That's all we got time for this morning.
It just isn't time.
There isn't time, Chloe. We'll have to come back tomorrow, 6 o'clock, bright and early. See you then.
This is CliffCentral.com.